Every year, we try to take a look at a different al-chait, a different one of the viduyim of the confessions that we say on Yom Kippur, to try to understand that particular confession on a deeper level, so that we just don't fly through it, but we have some understanding of what we're asking forgiveness for, with the eye and the mindset of how we can be able to work on it and rectify it. This year, we chose one with the chet, bechilul Hashem, with the desecration of God's name. Now, at first glance, my immediate reaction, perhaps some of you have that same reaction, is that when I hear the idea of chilul Hashem, I'm brought back to my childhood days, going on a bus to the museum or planetarium, and the teacher saying, you know, you're Jewish kinderlach, and you have to, you know, you dress like Jewish children, and you have to act appropriately, because if you, you know, act out in the museum or the planetarium, you throw garbage, and you know, make a ruckus, it's a chilul Hashem. So then, that child part of me, we all have that, says, well, I haven't been to a museum or planetarium in years, guess this one doesn't apply to me. And then obviously the adult voice comes in and says, well, what is Bechil Hashem? So we'll start with two definitions before we develop our shir today. The first is found in the art scroll Vidui, where it mentions, source 2, if we ignore the fact that people judge God by the way we act. If we truly had an interpersonal concern for sanctification of God's name, we would never act in a way that could cause desecration of his name. The more distinguished a person, the more identifiable he is a Torah Jew, the more careful he has to be about the impression his behavior makes on others. Even Yom Kippur, repentance, and suffering do not fully atone for the grievous sin of desecrating the name, and as Chazal tell us, only death is the final kapara, is the final forgiveness. And we'll talk in Mirtz Hashem more about this. Rav Meislish, in his Sefer on Vidui, gives us a little bit of a different definition, broadens it a bit, source 1. Hakol lefi mashu adam, this is very individual based on who the person is. Ki adam chashuv haverai yoter kala, sherov anashim dashim bikvam, nechshev etzol lechilol Hashem. A small sin by a major talmid chacham, a big person, is counted as a chilul Hashem, while by somebody else, no one won't even pay attention to it. And it goes on, skipping a little bit. Including this is scholars who do not behave appropriately with other people. The diburoi no benachadim abriot, and they don't speak nicely with others. And that's also chilul Hashem Shemayim. Chilul Hashem en lo shiur, shekol mevaza afilu mitzvah achat. You make fun of, or you're mekel bechvod Shemayim. You make fun of, you make light of, even one mitzvah. That's called the chilul Hashem. V'nechlal b'zeh, included in this, says Rav Meitzlis, kishimotzi b'tzvatav acham ha-brachot v'libo ba'alimo. When one says a bracha, and you're not fully concentrating, forget fully, when you're not concentrating on the bracha, your heart is not with it, that's also chilul Hashem. So we've now brought in the picture of what chilul Hashem is. It's not just a person's action when they do something that is clearly violating the Torah, and they're known to be a distinguished person, they're known to be an Orthodox Jew, that this is a chilul Hashem, a desecration of God's name. But even an observant person within performing mitzvahs, if not doing it appropriately, not doing it correctly, not saying a blessing with the fullness of heart, that too is a chilul Hashem. And that suddenly creates this al-chait, this vidui, to be something that is very, very, as all of them really are, once we understand them, very relevant for each and every one of us in our lives. What I'd like to try to do as our structure, Mirtz Hashem, for today, is talk about the second aspect of chilul Hashem first. What does it mean to make light of a mitzvah? What does it mean not to treat mitzvahs properly? What does it mean to throw a bracha out of our mouth? We'll speak about that, and we'll speak about how we can attain tshuva, forgiveness for that. And then the second part of the shir, we will talk about in Mirtz Hashem briefly, the classic chilul Hashem. We'll talk about that more briefly, because that's more classic behavior that's inappropriate, what people will say. And then speak about Mirtz Hashem, how one can get tshuva, how one can repent for that. That's where we're going today, and hopefully this idea of divine disgrace will become very relevant for our lives, and we'll see that Mirtz Hashem, It will give us focus, not only for Yom Kippur, but hopefully for life. And what we're going to speak about today, I think, is very practical, as well as very exciting, as well as very inspirational. Why are we here? What is life all about? What does it mean to create a Kiddush Shem Shamayim versus a Chilul Shem Shamayim? So Rabbi Kluger, in My Soul Desire, again, mostly Breslov Torah, he notes in source number 3, Hashem created us with a specific purpose in mind. What is that purpose? Well, we say it in Adon Olam. Adon Olam Asher Malach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra, Master of the Universe, who reigned before any creation was created, when everything was brought into being according to His will. Azai Melech Shemo Nikra, then King, His name was proclaimed. Hashem was King before the creation of the world, but there's no one to call Him King. Hashem created us so we should proclaim that He is our King, so we accept His sovereignty. And this is the first blessing that we say in Sheva Brachot. Shehakol bara lechvodo. Everything is created for His honor. Chazal based His blessing on the pasuk in Yeshaya. Everything that is called by My name and whom I created for My honor, I formed it and I also made it. Why are we here? To create Kvod Shamayim, to create godliness in this world. And I'll add parenthetically, the Sefer, My Soul Desire, this is its introductory chapter, that is the theme. He talks about the Chagim, he talks about different mitzvahs, that is the theme throughout the entire Sefer. It's how can we create Kvod Shamayim, glorification of God's name in this world. Continuing, the entire world is created for the purpose of Kvod Shamayim, so Jewish people reveal Hashem's honor in this world. That's why when a chassid and kala set out on their new life, the first thing we do is remind them of the purpose for which they were created. And that purpose is clear. Shakol bara lichvodo, God's honor, God's glory. He then mentions in the arrow in 3, the Navi Yeshaya rebukes the Jewish people that Hashem's word was taken by them as a commandment for a commandment, a line for a line, a little there, a little there. The Navi's intent was, although they did perform some mitzvahs, it was without any overall direction. It was a little mitzvah here and a little mitzvah there. At times they followed Hashem's commandment, and at times they followed the Goyim. Sometimes they were headed toward holiness, and sometimes the opposite. The Jewish people lacked a single clear goal of increasing Kvod Shamayim through then every action. And I think, my friends, this is what rings so true for me when we look around our own lives. How often do we do a mitzvah here, a mitzvah there, a line here, a line there? But this overall aspect of Kvod Shamayim, to bring godliness into this world, this overall aspect of creating a world wherein my mitzvahs are bringing greater glory to God in this world, that for sure is lacking. Only once we internalize that we're living solely for Hashem's sake in order to increase His glory, can we move forward in the right direction. And this is one of the reasons for washing our hands in the morning. As stated in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, is that just as the Kohani wash their hands in the Kiyor before starting the holy service in the Beis HaMikdash, we wash our hands for the service of our Creator. A Jew wakes up in the morning with one distinct goal, to serve Hashem. He washes his hands, sanctifying himself for this one purpose. We say Moda'ani, and it's a good habit to then say, Ribono Shel Olam, I want to have this day to serve You. And this is the focus. Then we can check the signposts and determine in every situation that we have in life which option leads us in the right direction toward Kvod Shamayim. It's like the imagery of waves that you put in where your destination is. And then you look on the, to see which is the greatest route to get you there, the fastest way, the least traffic. But you're headed toward a destination. Likewise, Lahavdil, we are headed toward the destination called Kvod Shamayim. Will this bring Kvod Shamayim? Will saying that bring Kvod Shamayim? Saying a bracha this way will bring Kvod Shamayim? Talking to this person that way bring Kvod Shamayim? That's our question. What will bring glory to Hashem in heaven? He gives a very interesting analogy, just to take this idea one step further. He says, each and every one of us doing our own thing reveals Hashem's glory in this world. And Hashem derives nachah from each and every one of His children with His unique ability. With this concept, we can explore the following hypothetical scenario. Imagine a person is resting in the woods on the side of the Tel Aviv-Yerushalayim highway. Would we consider this person on his way to Yerushalayim? Well, It obviously depends on the purpose of his nap. If the person is having, you know, an adventure of climbing through and spending the days in the woods of Yar Yushalayim, we'd say, you know, in the forest, we'd say no. The nap is just to rest, to go on with his adventure. But if as he was on his way from Tel Aviv to Yushalayim and got exhausted, and he's resting so he can continue his trip, we would say yes, he's on his way to Jerusalem. Likewise, with our life as well. We cannot always be in an active mode, working and investing nonstop. Sometimes we need to rejuvenate, to meet with friends, who's on the telephone, enjoy a light read. If we forget our goal in life and turn this activity into the goal, we have veered from the road. If we keep constant sight of our goal, however, this break just serves as a means of recharging, so we'll be able to continue our trip with more vitality. As such, it becomes an integral part of our Avodas Hashem. When we are always conscious of our goal, our entire lives are transformed into an ongoing song of Kol Shamayim. That's the key, my friends. So first and foremost, when we talk about V'alchei Shechatan L'fanecha B'chil Hashem, the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we leading a life that brings us to Kvod Shamayim? Are we leading a life that brings us to a greater commitment and connection to Hashem, that we feel Hashem's presence in every aspect of what we are doing in our lives? That is the first question that, and this at the time of Seder Simi Tshuva, particularly the entire year, is this our focus in our lives? Is this something that's on the forefront of our minds? If this is so, then we then can appreciate when the Chumash tells us in Parshat Emor, Source 7, V'lo techalu etchein kodshi, you should not desecrate my name, rather, v'nikdashti, I should be sanctified among the Jewish people, katav Rabbeinu Eliezer rimitz, b'sefer Yireim, et Hashem Elokecha tira, yitein kavod lishmo, v'shmor mechalolo. Our job is to ensure that we create this Kol Shamayim, glory of heaven, and make sure we don't desecrate it. This is a fundamental issue in all of our lives. This is what all of our confessions are about. This is the core. There is no limit to what Chil Hashem could be. Listen to this. Sha'afilu mekel b'mitzvah achat. Even if you make light of, you don't give the attention necessary to even one mitzvah. Mekel b'kvod Hashem. Nikra mechal Hashem. It's considered a Chil Hashem. So Rabosai, are you hearing what we're saying here, my friends? When we talk about V'alchei Shechatan L'fanecha B'chil Hashem, you could be living on a desert island and nobody sees you. You could be living in a place where no one knows that you're Jewish. And it's still considered a Chil Hashem. Why? Because Chil Hashem has nothing to do on this first level with the outside. It has to do with you and the Ribono Shel Olam. It has to do with you and your relationship to your Avodas Hashem. If you're Mekil, if you have a lackadaisical life, well, if I feel like it, I'm in the mood, I'll do this mitzvah. You know, I'll just say this bracha. I'll just get this mitzvah done. Get it out of my way. So, you know, and I can move on in life. If that is our attitude, and even one mitzvah, that's a Chil Hashem, that's a desecration of God's name. And that, my friends, is even more than that. It's a desecration of ourselves. We are called, the Pasuk of Malachi and Perek Beis, that we are called a Kodesh Hashem. We are holy to God. When we are desecrating even one thing, it's a desecration, really, of the essence of ourselves and why we are created. The Birkas Mordechai takes this one step further. Rav Mordechai Yitzrachi, Baruch Mordechai Yitzrachi, notes in Source 9. He says, we have to be able to recognize that everything we articulate, everything we've been a hint at, everything we do, has to be first and foremost to be able to understand that we are building ourselves a Kvod Shamayim. It should be spontaneous. And if we're missing something in this, it's a Chil Hashem במלוא מובן המילה, in the full sense of the world. מפני שכך נברא, the asterisk of 9, this is why we're created. יוצא ונעשה אדם, this is why Hashem formed us. זהו התפקידו. Someone asks you, why were you created? Why did Hashem create mankind? In order to be able to create godliness in this world. That's the beginning and that's the end of this. Leo b'chol eid, b'chol shah, b'chol matzav, b'chol inyan, in every moment, in every aspect, to be a godly person, to be a mensch, to be a reflection of godliness, to bring godliness into this world, for people to say, wow, this is how godly people act, to say about yourself, I am a godly person who is bringing more godliness into this world. Im oneh, im eino oneh la minimum hazeh, if you don't answer to this minimum, harei mechalel tashem, this is a chilul Hashem. We have to, in our metzias, in our essence, with every part of us, you know, even the way we interact with our body language, it has to scream out sensitivity, klal shamayim. My friends, I'd like to take this even further. The first thing we've established is that our destination, the moment we wake up, is to create godliness in this world, to act in a way that's a godly way, the way we talk, the way we interact, the way we do things. This needs to be reflected in our behavior to other people. This needs to be reflected in the way we look at mitzvahs. Our whole aspect has to be, I am holy, and I am exuding holiness at every aspect of my life. If I'm not, if I'm missing the boat in any area, this is considered to be a chilul Hashem, a desecration of God's name. The Nesiv HaShalom, my friends, take this idea even one step further, and he mamish brings it home to each and every one of our lives. He quotes in source number 11, the Rambam, who counts in the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, he puts it in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, the laws of the fundamental idea of Torah. Now we know that the way the Rambam sets up his Yad HaChazaka, his monumental work of the Mishnah Torah, where every single halacha is found, says worlds about what that halacha is about. We've spoken in the past, just as an example, that Hilchos Kibud Av Va'Em, the laws of honoring your parents, are found in Hilchos Mamre, about the Zakei Mamre, the one who disobeys the Sanhedrin, because listening to your parents is a link in the Sinai tradition of going all the way back. It's a Masorah, it's tradition. So that's why those halachas are found there. Everything is very exact. And this is who we pinesh, is that tafkid kalivi karishu, dimichuyabo, ko yimechayav. Kiddush Hashem isn't found in just, you know, the laws, if the goyim are going to attack you, you know, when are you allowed to give up your life, when you're not allowed to give up your life, dying on Kiddush Hashem, no. Kiddush Hashem is found, and that's important, but Kiddush Hashem is found in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, which is the Iker. It's like part of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. It's all there. It's the Iker in terms of what it means to be a Jew. Every Jew, every moment of our lives. Mitzvah v'nikdashi b'toch b'nei Yisrael, he lo rak ba'ofen she'akum on sola v'oraveira. Mekadei Shem Shemayim isn't just, you know, a goy says, if you don't do this mitzvah, or you do this aveira, or I'll kill you. It's not only that. That's not dying on Kiddush Hashem. Elozet tafki kolisha yudi lekadesh et Hashem. But it is our responsibility to sanctify God. And here, listen to the way the Nesiv HaShalom explains this Rambam. B'milchama hatmidi neged shorash hara hanimsa bo hamashcho tami lasot neged ritzon Hashem. You want to know what a Kiddush Hashem is? Aside from treating mitzvahs properly and realizing inherit kedusha in us, Kiddush Hashem is being able to be successful in the battle against our yetzer hara at all times. Ukimosha ketuv oda Rambam, kola perush ba'aveira asa mitzvah, lo mitzvei davar ba'olam. The Rambam writes, anyone who doesn't do an aveira or does a mitzvah, not because of any external influence, and not to get covered, ela mipnei ha'borei baruch hu, because Hashem wanted him to do it, harei ze mekadesh et Hashem. You're doing it solely for the purpose of Kiddush Shem Shemayim, sanctification of God's name. Our whole lives is a battle.
And this is what we need to understand. When a person is able, continues in Tziva Shalom, to be able to overcome this battle, which means, you know, somebody makes a comment to me, and I have such a great rejoinder. But if I embarrass them a little bit, okay, I will embarrass them. But you know what? They deserve it. And I don't say it. And I hold myself back. I don't take that extra piece of cake. I don't indulge in a pleasure that's just for pleasure's sake of, you know, the animal part of me. And I hold myself back. All of these, and there's no one watching, my friends. It is between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is a kiddush Shem Shamayim when I don't say this and I don't do that and I don't have self-indulgence. All of these, that's a kiddush Hashem. And when I don't hold myself back and I say that and I do these things, that, my friends, is what we're speaking about on the larger scale. That is a chilul Hashem. Rabosai, stop. We could be spending the entire Yantif of Yom Kippur just on this Alchayt. How many times is it hard for us to hold ourselves back? How many times are we doing a mitzvah just because I want to glorify Hashem's name and it's irrelevant what other people say? Ah, Kvod Shamayim. Wow, that's where it's at. This is the fundamental aspect of what Yiddishkeit is about. It gives, in my mind, a gewaldig pshat. Let's take a look at the top left, source 12. V'im kein katav Rambam et hashlom elashon kol Beis Yisrael. That's why the Rambam writes the entire Beis Yisrael, the entire Jewish people, are commanded on Kiddush Hashem, because this is nothing to do with Akum, with the outside world, what the Goyim are saying, a Holocaust, the Crusades. No. Eli mitzvah shmidin hamutel et al kol b'nei Yisrael. This is something that is incumbent upon all of B'nai Yisrael. Shekol Yudi Mitzuveh Lakor Metzvot Sharash Hara. We have to uproot the negative parts of us. Mitzvah Zu Hiya Mitzvah Kasha B'yoter. And overcoming our Yetzirah is the greatest challenge we have. We have to work on this all day. And he quotes a piece from Or LaShamayim, and the name of the Chozeh Lublin, listen to this. We just lain the Akedah, and we know when Avraham Avinu lifts up his eyes, and he says, V'nei ayel achar nechaz b'tzvach b'karnav. There's another, literally, achar, another ayel, another ram that's caught with its horns. Well, wait a minute, there's only one ram there. So he says, aside from the Nisayon of the Akedah, which is the greatest level of Mesiris Nefesh that you can imagine, which is one type of Kiddush Hashem that we're familiar with, right? The die of Kiddush Hashem. There's another type of Akedah. There's another ram. And that's called to live al Kiddush Hashem. And that is Nechaz Basvach. It is caught up in the thicket. The thicket is a reference to the thicket of our taivas, of our desires. And it's only when we're able to stand b'mesiris nefesh, it's going to take the entirety of our being, nefesh being ratzon, our desires. Then we have the end of the pasuk, b'karnav, with its horns, playing on the same lashon of karan or panav, to light up, right? We know Michelangelo made that mistake, that he thought that Moshe Rabbeinu had horns. No, Karan is exuded that light. Shemitoch shemiskaber al nisayon hareu matchila charkach lizroach v'la'ir at kisei hakavod. When we're successful, when we overcome the challenges that we have in our lives, then we begin to shine. Then we begin to exude the Kvod Shamayim, like Moshe Rabbeinu had perfected himself to this level. And this is what we have to understand, that every single moment, this is 13 and 14, we are standing in a battlefield. And the battlefield is the battlefield of our Yetzer, of our inclination. That's the battlefield of B'mekadeh Shem Shamayim, or Mechalel Shem Shamayim. And this is, we understand in the summation of 14, where he says, Our midos, our character trait, which affect us at every moment. We could sanctify or defame. This mitzvah of sanctifying God's name, or the opposite, God forbid, this is the highest level we can reach. On both sides, this is so exciting. This is so empowering. Do you know what this means? That this is what we need to focus on. I wake up in the morning and I say, I wash my hands. Today is going to be a day where I am focused in on my goal. I'm going to reach Yerushalayim today. I'm going to reach Klal Shamayim today. Today I'm going to reach as much as I can on every signpost that I see. How can I be able to bring Klal Shamayim into this world? So when I eat my cereal in the breakfast in the morning, am I going to mumble the bracha or not? Am I going to scream at my kids or not? Am I going to be patient with the person on the phone even though I'm running or not? All of these is moment after moment and fast forward speed, because our lives are fast forward speed. The Rambam puts us at the same place as Avas Hashem, love of Hashem, Yiras Hashem. This is the foundation of what this is about in our lives, and this is what we really need to realize. And this is what the Datraga points out in 16, that this is our goal, in this way, to emulate the Malachim, who will be ready to do anything to be able to serve Hashem. Are we ready to give ourselves over completely, or at least work on the consciousness that this is our goal? Having said this, my friends, I want to take a look at one specific aspect. If this is general, that my whole life has to be a focus of, am I being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim? Again, with nobody around in the privacy of my home. How do I respond to this email? How do I respond to this phone call? Nobody else is around. How do I respond to that extra piece of cake? Nobody is around. All of these things are part of Vinikdash Tibetok B'nei Israel. I want to focus in on one specific nekuda. L'tzitcha Yom brings from Rav Daniel Moshkovitz, who is a menahel of the Talmud Torah of Kelm, where he says in Source 17, Lo rak b'asiyas aveira yesh chil Hashem. It's not only when I do an aveira that's obviously a chil Hashem, because Hashem told me to do one thing and I'm desecrating that, I'm doing something else. Right? Hashem put me in this world to be able to bring myself closer to Him. And when I do a chayt, an aveira, I bring myself farther away from Him, and I go against what Hashem said, which is obviously a great desecration of God's name. So, v'alchayt shechatanu fanecha b'chil Hashem is a reference to every sin I've done is a chil Hashem. Elagam iasiyas ha-mitzvah behidur b'dikdu kamechuyev l'chvod ha-mitzvah. Not only when I do an aveira in a chil Hashem, but when I don't do a mitzvah in the most beautiful way, really paying attention and giving the honor to the mitzvah that it deserves, gambo yesh geder shechil Hashem. That's also a chil Hashem. Shekein mizeh ro'im zulzul ba'avodo yehavana b'ma'uta v'tachlita. Because when I do a mitzvah in a haphazard way, I'm being mezalzel in the mitzvah. Oh, you know, I'll just get it done with. So that's also desecrating and lowering the Klal Shamayim, the God's glory in this world. You know, you invest so much money in, but for God, ugh, what does it matter? So I buy a $20 estrog instead of a $100 estrog. Or I don't spend so much energy on making this so beautiful. Well, who really cares? No. By that attitude of who really cares, it's a zilzul. That's also part of the broader category of Chilul Shem Shamayim. With this in mind, that Chilul Shem Shamayim is our attitude toward beautifying mitzvot, I think we can now have a deeper understanding of the placement on one level, there's a lot of Torah on this, of Sukkos in Tishrei, right? Very famous question, why Sukkos in Tishrei? Not Nisan, we're not getting into that. But since we're not having an era of Sukkos here, why Sukkos, we'll have one word here, why Sukkos is after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Sukkos, we know, is the paradigm of beautifying mitzvot, right? How do you beautify Hashem and mitzvot? You have a sukkah na, a lulav na, right? We go out to make sure we have an esrog na, right? We have noise sukkah, we have decorations for the sukkah, right? In Eretz Yisrael, the stores already are selling, you know, all these sukkah decorations and everything, the music, you know, it's a beautiful holiday. And we like to beautify it as best as possible. Sukkah is known as like the hiddur, the most beautiful of the holidays. So we can now appreciate why this is right after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Again, Rav Emanuel Bernstein on the Sefer Tshuva, which I've been pushing the last few weeks, he says, much of the climate that allows for our mistakes is based on mistaken priorities, losing sight of what is primary and what is secondary. Over the course of the year, we can come to lay excessive emphasis on our physical activities and possessions, not as a means to an end, but rather as the end of themselves. If this happens, we'll end up developing into such end up devoting too much time and energy to developing those areas, all at the expense of the things that really count. To live our lives in light of what we have learned from Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we need to restore a balanced and healthy perspective on our relationship with the world, which is again what we've spoken about in our language, called Kvod Shamayim, Amimam Lech Hashem as King, I incarnate God as King, I have my focus from day one of the year, that I'm here to bring a Kvod Shamayim in this world. Yom Kippur initiates the process of reclaiming this perspective by ceasing all significant physical activity and interaction with the physical world. This time out, so to speak, allows us to recalibrate our vision of the world and our relationship with it. Sukkot continues this process by applying the same method not to what we do, but to what we own. Although we need to own things, we need to ensure that they do not take over and become a value in their own right. Which brings us to, in 19, the special role that Hiddur Mitzvah plays in the role of Sukkot. The central theme here is not merely performing mitzvot, but of reclaiming them from the sidelines to where they may have been pushed by other less important things. The things we invest in making beautiful are the things that are important to us. This is the reorientation of Sukkot, and it's so beautiful. First you have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. I understand that Hashem exists. And once I understand that clarity of Kiddush Shem Shamayim, now I'm able to put the Hiddur Mitzvah, beautifying mitzvot, into perspective. Looked at this way, the Sukkah and the Arba Minim work together as a team, with Sukkah de-emphasizing physical priorities that may have taken over, and the Arba Minim restoring mitzvot to the center where they belong. And he goes one step further. He says, when Chazal say, Zeke Levan Veyu, this is my God, continue me in 20, and I will glorify him, the Gemara says here, he na lefanav b'mitzvot, literally, beautify the mitzvot before him. Actually, if we look carefully at these words, we'll note that the word hit na'eh is reflexive. It does not mean to beautify something else, but to beautify oneself. What's really saying is beautify yourself before him with mitzvot. That's what it's about. Because when I focus in on making a mitzvah beautiful, and I buy those beautiful kiddushka, and I buy beautiful clothes, and I say it's for Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's not just that this is the most beautiful thing. I become reflexive. I become beautiful. That kiddush Shem Shamayim, that part of me, which is the holy part of me, the glory, the part of me that's glorified, that comes to the fore. And I become a reflection of the divine, which is glorified. And that's what we need to understand, that a Kiddush Hashem has an effect on us as an individual. It's able to affect this aspect that when I invest in something beautiful, it impacts me. And I become more beautiful. My relationship with Hashem becomes more beautiful. And the whole cycle is elevated to a higher level. Rabbosai, let's summarize what we've seen and add one more nekuda before looking at how we can get tshuva for this. Chil Hashem has nothing to do with other people on this level. Chil Hashem is not living up to the expectation and focus that Hashem has implanted us in this world. On the most basic level, every time I do a sin, that's a Chil Hashem. God told me, do X, don't speak Lashon Hara, and I spoke Lashon Hara, I gossip, I slandered. Not I. One gossips, one slanders. That's a chil Hashem. That is a chetchatan fadecha b'chil Hashem. I desecrated God's name. on a deeper level. My whole essence and being is here to proclaim godliness in this world. Every time I acted a certain way, I even hint with my body language in a certain way, that's a chilul Hashem. That's a desecration of God's name. We have to realize that I'm here to be able, everything that I do, be a reflection of God. And really, the battlefield of Kiddush Hashem and chilul Hashem is the battlefield that happens not just in, you know, the Crusades. It was interesting. I was telling my daughter, we were driving to the Kotel for the last mincha of the year of Rosh Hashanah. We were talking about the Crusades, and I was telling her about, you know, she was looking at how all different religions are found in the old city, and I was telling about how the Crusades was coming up to the thing. I said, didn't you learn about Crusades in school? She looked at me blankly, and then finally she says, oh, Matzah Tzlav. And it's so funny, raising kids here, where they know concepts, it's just that they know it in a whole different lexicon than I'm used to. But she was right. I said, Matzah Tzlav, that's exactly it. It's taking the cross and that was the whole point of being able to bring everybody to their vision of what Jerusalem is about. That's a classic Chilul Hashem, Kiddush Hashem. This is not, my friends, this is a battlefield that's only between you and God, and no one else knows about it. Every time we refrain, every time I invest in a mitzvah in the most beautiful way possible, every time I struggle and I overcome that struggle, that's the Kiddush Hashem. And when I fail, because we're human, we all fail. We all struggle. This is human condition. That's a Chilul Hashem. So again, I don't care where the chazan is, my friends. Whoa! Rav Meislish mentioned at the end, one other aspect of Chilul Hashem, which is very relevant for our lives, I'd like to take a look. It's the last page, but I'd like to do it here, switching around the order of the shir, in source 41, on the last page. And that's the idea of just saying brachos without thinking. In Rav Bodner's Sefer, which is very good on the halachos of brachos, he has in it an introduction, the essence of a bracha. And he says in 41, the extent to which one is obligated to express his appreciation is also, right, everything that Hashem gives us is wow. And he says a child of three can say thank you to his parent, especially if the parent instructs the child to do so. As a person grows in wisdom, experience, and sensitivity, his appreciation deepens and his expressions of gratitude are no longer something he does by rote. As a wise and sensitive adult, he can express his gratitude in a meaningful way. Many three-year-old children recite brachos. What a lost opportunity would be if a person expressed his gratitude to Hashem thousands of times in his lifetime with the sensitivity and depth of a three-year-old. Growth starts by simply considering the meanings of a bracha. And that's what we have to understand. Ask ourselves, do I say a bracha like a three-year-old? Blah, 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 blah. We don't have to think about what we say. If we would just, al chaytcha tana fadecha b'chil Hashem, turn to Hashem and say, you know what, Hashem? I'm working on this. Make myself cards, make myself signs. At least once a day to say a bracha with kavana, you will find your life is transformed. I challenge you. This is what to have in mind. Baruch. What does Baruch mean? Not bless you. We don't bless God. Baruch, from Brecha, Hashem is the source of all blessing. He's the wellspring. Hashem's name, Yudkei Vavkei, and it's said, Adon Hashem, represents Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, the way it's spelled. Hayah Veviyah, Hashem was, is, and will be. Adon, he is the master. And most poskim say that you have to have both in mind. Elokeinu means he's the Almighty, all-capable, all-powerful. And most poskim say we need to have that in mind. Melech Haolam, that not only did Hashem create this particular item, right? We look at this apple, Hashem, right, made this, but he actively managed its allocation and distribution. Figuratively speaking, the Creator stamps every apple with the address of the person from whom it is intended. Perhaps that's where the idea of the apple of his eye comes from. We are the apple, kivyachol, of Hashem's eye. He chose this particular apple for me. When we sing Melech HaOlam, it should fill us with such warmth, such a good feeling. Bore, the closing of the bracha, is not only he created, but he currently creates. And if God were for one moment to stop creating, the whole world would disappear into oblivion. Rabosai, v'alchei checha tanu lefanecha v'chilul Hashem. How many times do we say a bracha every day? How many times do we
spit out a bracha without thinking. We say, Hashem, I realize what a chilul Hashem this is. Here I have an opportunity, as Rav Pinka speaks about at length, 100 brachos a day, 100 opportunities to feel almost like a hug and an embrace from and to Hashem. What a lost opportunity. What a chilul Hashem. What a lost kiddush Hashem opportunity. Once a day, say to Hashem, you know what? The idea, this farm say, that working on part of a mitzvah is where we have to start. Once a day, first bracha of the day, whatever it is, of the food that we eat, make a sign by our cup of coffee, wherever it is, and be able to say it slowly. Make your coffee cup, you know, reminder, stop, think, say slowly. You know, you could do anything at all these stores. So be creative on how you want to remind yourself. And wow, this is a practical way that I can change this chilul Hashem. As well as every time I struggle, I say to myself, whoa, chilul Hashem, kiddush Hashem. And that enables me to be successful. So this is so much chilul Hashem, kiddush Hashem going on. How do we mechaper for it? We go back to page source 22, where the Modi Labina Rav Rothberg from Bnei Brak gives a gewaldic insight. And he says, doing 22 and 23 outside, he says that we know generally Melo Shemachal Kvodo En Kvodo Machul, a king who we go against his honor is not forgiven. Yeah, he can't forgo his honor. And this is why, when the Chazal tell us, they asked, you know, Torah, person sins, what should happen? He should die. Nevuah, right? Everyone says there's no hope, you know? Hashem says, no, you can do tshuva. What does this mean? So he says very beautifully, he said, this is why Rosh Hashanah comes before Yom Kippur. The way to counteract, the way to be mechaper, the way to get forgiveness for this type of chilul Hashem is to bring awareness of Kiddush Hashem into the world. When I bring Kiddush Hashem, sanctification of God's name in the world, that counterbalances all of these opportunities of Chilul Hashem. And that is why Rosh Hashanah comes before Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah is V'yitnu lecha keter melucha, we coronate Hashem as king. That is the greatest Kiddush Hashem imaginable. Tshuva itself is a great Kiddush Hashem, that I turn to Hashem and I said, no one else can forgive me but you. At the moment that I involve myself in this type of Kiddush Hashem, let's take a look at the arrow in 23. Nimsa demalach shel Rosh Hashanah, hu hechrechi kodem malach hakapara b'yom kippurim. You need to have Rosh Hashanah before Yom Kippur. Talich hatshuva yifshar lo shitkabel ela kishebetoch hatshuva munach bito achil Hashem shebachay. You first have to get rid of the inherent chil Hashem in each and every sin. Before I can even get forgiveness for any sin, forget the sin of Chilul Hashem, all the viduyim, every single thing I've done has an aspect of Chilul Hashem. Like, you know, it's almost like Chilul Hashem is the salt that's sprinkled on the entire, you know, mixture here. It's Chilul Hashem in everything I do. So I can't even open up my mouth on Yom Kippur. Chilul Hashem is flowing everywhere. I start with Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a Kiddush Shem Shemayim. It's Hamlochas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once I've established that, then I can be able to have the idea of forgiveness, because now I've, to a certain degree, rectified, elevated, changed this aspect. Further, being doing the mitzvah of tshuva is tshuva samishkal l'chil Hashem shenigra mikarach hachet. That is the balance for the chil Hashem that happened in the chet. However, notes of Moda Labina 27. That's all fine and nice when we're talking about the etzem of the aspect, what we call the chefsa, has a chil Hashem. I wasn't, you know, didn't do this mitzvah correctly. I did this aveira. All those chil Hashems, that can be forgiven through the tshuva and amishkal, through the balanced tshuva of making Hashem king, of recognizing that Hashem is the only one to turn to for tshuva, and in that way, I'm forgiven for that aspect of the chil Hashem I created during the year. But then there's another aspect of Chilul Hashem. And that, he says, is on the gavra, on the person. And that is the second aspect of Chilul Hashem that we'll mention now, again, a little bit more briefly because it's the more famous one. And that doesn't get forgiven in the same way. When I, through my action, through when other people watch me, I create a Chilul Hashem, that has a power that cannot just be undone with making Hashem king on Rosh Hashanah. What type of Chilul Hashem are we talking about? So we know in 29, the Rambam writes, there are things that are profanation of God's name, when a pious Torah scholar does things which cause people to talk against him, even if the acts are not transgressions, he profanes Hashem's name. Example of this are such a person buys something, does not pay promptly when he's able to pay, and the seller asks for payment, or when he does not speak pleasantly to others, and does not receive them with a pleasant facial expression, but is quarrelsome and easy to anger. The greater the man, the more careful he must be with his behavior. Such a person should go beyond the letter of the law in his dealing with others. And obviously this is very complicated, all the laws of Chilul Hashem. We're just mentioning it in a very, very brief overview. Rav Monk in 28, he quotes here, "Be very scrupulous in your action, as the sages say, so that you do nothing to tarnish the honor of Judaism and Jewish people." In the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam describes in detail the many applications of this law to daily life. In particular, every wrongful action against a non-Jew is branded as an unforgivable sin because it creates a false impression of Judaism and its moral standards. Every Jew must be constantly aware of the glory of God as, it were, entrusted to him, and that he holds in his hand the honor of his religion and his people. The wrongdoing of a single Jew reflects on the whole house of Israel. And that, we know, my friends, is the way the Ordania, Rav Daniel Ochian, describes in 30, that Kiddush Hashem is really walking into what he calls a stei mokshim, which is Hebrew for a minefield. We have no idea whether it's in Eretz Yisrael or whether it's in Chutz Laaretz, how every person who clearly looks Jewish in Eretz Yisrael, it's usually the datiim, the religious one, who can create a potential Chilul Hashem. The examples that Rav Daniel Ochian gives is if a person, religious looking person, throws a garbage on the floor, religious people are sloppy, or your check bounces, or things like that. So you have that aspect of the minefield that people are watching you, how you behave online, how you talk on the phone. All religious people talk loudly. And then you have outside of Eretz Yisrael, as well as inside Eretz Yisrael, but much more outside, in the Goyish world, how do you look? How do they talk? How do they dress? How refined are they? When you hear people say, oh, we will never tell, these type of jokes in front of so-and-so, that's a Kiddush Hashem. They understand that so-and-so is a religious Jew and that they have a certain standard and this is not meeting up to their standard. Wow. And this is something that V'alcheitshech atana fadecha b'chilul Hashem, going back to the example we gave with the planetarium and the museum, we are walking ambassadors. Somebody said to me, I don't recall seeing this, and they said they would try to send it to me because they blew it up and put it in their house in Ben Gurion Airport. There's a sign that says that now that you're leaving Eretz Yisrael, you are the ambassadors of Israel, the Jewish people. I don't remember what it was. And you have to act accordingly. And that's what it's all about. Wherever we go, this is the way a Jewish person acts. This is a decorum. This is a language. We are a walking minefield where people will say and learn things, and we're not even well aware of it. And we know in 2032, a Tamid Chacham has to be careful about everything he says because people are going to look at what he does. And if he does something, it's not okay. It causes a Chilul Hashem. And also he says that people are going to be influenced by what he does. And that's why you have to be so careful on what you do, because you're an example. And we know this so often, where somebody will say to me, well, the rabbi of my shul does, or the Rebbetzin does, so of course I can do. Well, I have a little secret to tell you, my friends. A lot of us, for other people, are that rabbi and Rebbetzin. My neighbor down the street, she says it's okay to say things like this, even though it's hurting a person's feeling because it's l'toelet, so I can too. And when we give license to ourselves, we are opening up for other people
to have license as well, very similar to that imagery of the Lashon Hara being like that pillow of feathers, and you have no way to gather all them in. That is why Lashon Hara, that is why Chil Hashem is so bad, because we have no idea the repercussions and the ramifications of everything that we do, how people understand it, what people think, and how people are going to act accordingly. And hence the 33 also Satara, Rav Kohn, Katava Peleyoetz, Chil Hashem Yadua Shu Chamur Mikol Aveira Shema Torah. We know that Chil Hashem is the most severe of all the Aveiras in the Torah. Ad Shamu Razal to Rabbi say, Sheino Mizchaper Ella in Tshuva. You need to have repentance, Yisurin challenges. And I'll add here, Rav Schwab has a beautiful piece we spoke about many years ago, that b'chesed u'b'mishpat yuchupar avon, that sometimes if you do extraordinary acts of chesed, that will be in place of yisurim. Yisurim means to break you, means that it's going to be challenging. So you can be challenged through, you know, having a backache and not being able to move out of bed, or you can be challenged through having a backache because you're lifting boxes for Tom Chay Shabbos, and that's also in place of yisurim. So we should just keep that in mind, that we have an option of putting ourselves out above and beyond. Again, Rav Moshe Schwab, Mar Chelev, look at it more in depth. As well as Tshuva Yisurim V'Yom HaKippurim, and we need Yom Kippur, and we need Yom Amita, Yom HaMavet, death. How careful we have to be in this area. And we know, my friends, just if we're talking about the negative aspect of Chil Hashem and its ramifications, before we talk about the tshuva very briefly for Chil Hashem, we'll mention the opposite of the ramifications of what a Kiddush Hashem is all about. And that is a story we've mentioned before. And this just shows you how we don't know. And that's the point of the story. It's a great story of David Ashir, where Yeshiva Bacher is in a taxi, and he's learning, and it gets to a stop, and he's got completely, you know, engrossed in what he's learning. He doesn't even realize he's in a taxi. In his mind, someone just gave him a lift. He closes the door, doesn't even offer to pay. The taxi driver sees, like, you know, he's one of these, not a religious taxi driver, you know, one of these boys who's just in a different world, and says, you know what, forget the 20 shekels. Who really cares? You know, like, I'm not going to bother. You know, these religious Jews, they're in their own books. You know, the nose in the books. And he drives on. And the boy steps out onto the midracha, onto the curb, and he suddenly realizes, oh my gosh, I was just in a taxi. I didn't pay him. And he realized, this is Chil Hashem, this is desecration of God's name. Like, what are they going to say about, you know, religious Jews? So he starts running after this taxi driver. Now, I don't know if you know anything about Israeli taxis. To run after an Israeli taxi driver, that's you have to be in good shape. And he almost catches up to him, and the light changes. And he almost catches up to him. 20 minutes he's running after this Israeli taxi driver, and he finally catches up to him, you know, totally out of breath. And he waves him down, and he stops him, and he says, I am terribly sorry. I was so engrossed in my book, I didn't realize that I didn't pay you. Here is the 20 shekels for the ride. You know, I don't know if he needed a ride back now. I don't, that's part of the story they'll say. And he pays the guy. Fast forward now 25, 30 years. This same yeshiva boy, who's now a married man, sees that in his neighborhood there's a rav teaching about the inyan of Kiddush Hashem, the idea of sanctification of God's name. And he was fascinated by the topic, and he decided to go hear the shir. And the Rav was speaking about how when you do a Kiddush Hashem, a sanctification of God's name, in the area that we're talking about here, where, you know, it's clearly you're a Jew, and you are Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, and you sanctify God's name, you will always have a benefit from it. And he went over to the Rav, and he says, you know, I hear what you were saying, but, you know, I had a story that happened to me 25, 30 years ago, and I haven't seen any benefit from it. You know, it's like you're saying, it's like an axiom. I haven't seen it. And he says, I'll tell you the story. I was a yeshiva boy, I was engrossed in a book, a taxi driver ran after him, 20 minutes, tells the whole story. And the Rav looks at him and smiles and says, I guess you don't recognize me. I'm that taxi driver. And because of what you did running after me, I realized this is the type of person I want to be, and I want my family to be. And that was the impetus for me to be a Chozer B'Tshuvah, and I'm a Rav today, thanks to you running after me all those 20 minutes. That's the power of a Kiddush Hashem. Rabosai, we have no idea how we are walking ambassadors. So, my friends, if we have no idea about this, and we have no idea of how much potential Chilul Hashem, and again, for an important person not to say hello to somebody, that could be a Chilul Hashem. Like, again, a minefield is the best way to describe what we're dealing with here. Let's not only think of little children on a bus going to the, you know, Museum of Natural History. Let's think about each of us going to work every day and interacting with our colleagues and interacting with customers and interacting with the people around us in the store, everything, right? You need to tell me that I'm only going to get forgiveness in death? So the Moda Labina brings down the idea, as well as Rav Schwab, Omnam Gam Lose 37 L'chil Hashem Da Gavra Mahani Kiddush Hashem Aval Zed Tzarek Kiddush Hashem Ba'ofen Kazeh Shitakene Etzem HaGavra B'zeh. So he says that in this way, it's not only the action has to change, the person has to change. You've created, to a certain degree, you have been minimized because you have created through your action, through your modeling, you have created a desecration of God's name, so the desecration of the divine, so you, as a being, have to change. So what the Sfarim speak about for a man, this is about Lima Torah, immersing yourself in Torah is a kapara because you become a changed person. And it's brought down in the story for women, it's more so, even though we have an obligation of learning, but it's this type of immersion is not for women. It's working on changing a midah, changing one of your character traits, and really working hard on that is, again, that aspect of changing of self. That's one way to get kapara. The other way is a gewaldic idea that's brought down in the name of the Meshech Chachma. With the Meshech Chachma, again, Sichas Eliyahu, Rav Eliyahu Roth, 38, quotes this idea. He says, generally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Aser Simei Tshuva, is sitting and judging us. And when it comes to the Inyan of Chilul Hashem, the angels scream, there is no kapara, there's no forgiveness. And Hashem has to listen. But, says the Meshech Chachma, he says, Dover Nora. Ki ita b'Yushalmi. Yushalmi says, at the Tzman of Ne'ila, when Hashem is choten yechidi, when He is singularly judging, va'az hudan yechidi, va'az efshar levakesh v'menu, ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu yachol limchol l'kvodo. Here you can have the opportunity where Hashem will forgive you, as well as obviously being able to invest in creating in your life a greater Kiddush Hashem. L'kabel al atzmo v'lachen olenu l'shu b'tshuva l'tzol yom kippurim ne'ila l'vakei shlicha ma'melech, to use this time to ask for forgiveness. V'ebesur meira. But there's also ba'asei tov l'kabel al atzmei l'kadei shem shamayim. And we have to say, let me work on being conscious and going out of my way to mekadei shem shamayim. If we just understand this a little bit deeper, we'll end with a mashal. The Lekach Valibu of Rav Shur, Rav Avraham Alevi Shur in 39 brings down, when we say in our Tefillah Ne'ila Ptach Lanu Shar Beit Ne'ilat Shar, open up for us a gate Hashem at the time of the closing of the gate. The Ne'ilat Hasharim, the closing of the gate, is all the Malachim above. They're not allowed to enter at this time. V'zochim Shekadosh Baruch Hu Danet Adam Levato, Hashem judges us alone without any of the Malachim Akadragim who are going to accuse us. And that's why Ne'ilah is Ne'ilah Sashar. It is the closing of the gates from all the Malachim. But we who are Banim Lamakom, we who are the children, we say Hashem Ptach Lanu Shar. For us, open the gates, which is locked for everybody else, so that we can come in. And it's at this time where Hashem is able, when we really implore Hashem to be able to forgive with dmaos ubelev nishpat, with tears and a broken heart, we say, Hashem, for the most major sins that normally can't be forgiven, let sin like Chilul Hashem, this is able to be forgiven through Ne'ilah.
Ne'ilah is a time where we break through all those barriers, where all the mekatrigim, all the negative forces aren't there. And our focus really has to be asking Hashem for the greatest amount of forgiveness. The mashal that he gives, a little bit developed, is a person who, lo aleinu, has a child who's very sick, and the doctor says, you need to give him medicine tonight. Guy goes to the pharmacy, and the pharmacy is closed, but you can see the lights are on. He bangs on the door, bang, bang, bang. Finally, the pharmacist comes out and says, what do you want? He says, I need to get this medicine. It's desperate. So the pharmacist says, Rachmanis on him, and opens the door. So instead of the guy going and getting the medicine, what does he do? Oh, I think I'll pick up some Band-Aids. Oh, and let me get some shampoo. This is Ne'ilas Hashem, or Hashem is opening the gates just for us. Make sure that we don't get, you know, involved in narishkeit, that we can mamish ask for forgiveness on the most major and most difficult sins that we have. Ne'ilah is that time to be able to rectify the divine disgrace. So on the second level, my friends, when we're talking about Chilul Hashem, we're talking about the classic Chilul Hashem. The Chilul Hashem where other people learn from us. And we have no idea the ramifications of that. We don't know what people are saying. We don't know the way people are judging Jews. We don't know the way people are judging from Jews. We don't know what is happening in people's minds. We don't know that we are the ambassadors when we walk out on the street. The way, it's not even the way we do. Even the way our facial expression is makes an impression. We have to realize that we are, for a lot of people, those rabbis and rabbitsins that we were talking about. And again, every individual is judged based on where they are in the sphere of effect. Stay mokshim. We're walking in a minefield. We are the ambassadors of bringing godliness into this world. How careful we have to be. When we're mekadei shem shemayim, we have no idea of the greatness that we create. And God forbid the other. What we have to do, my friends, is realize that with tshuva, with yisurim, with Yom Kippur, we have not only mavet, which is death, which is again the limud Torah, or the changing of the midah, which is what death is represents, the changing of self. We also have the chant, says the Meshech Chochma of Ne'ilah, of the closing of the gates where nothing's going to stop Hashem, who judges alone, from giving us forgiveness. We should be zocha, my friends, to be inspired, to be able to live a life where we clearly understand from moment go of Negavas in the morning that we're here to create a Kiddush Shem Shamayim, that awareness should lead us in every aspect of our life, at every struggle, at every mitzvah, at every aveira, to realize I want to make it the most beautiful as possible. I want to have at least that one bracha a day. Wow, so sweet, so special, to feel Hashem's love, the apple of His eye, Melech HaOlam. Wow, to focus in on that. And to be able to realize, my friends, that when I Mamlech Hashem as King, when I turn to Him, in front of you, I'm a mechaper for those type of sins. But when I talk about the major aspect of Chilul Hashem, I need to have that moment of Ne'ilah, that moment of closeness to Hashem, where I bang on that door and I say, Hashem, I have no idea of the ramifications of what I've done. Or maybe I do. Maybe I do know situations where I have created a tremendous Chilul Hashem. Please, Hashem, forgive. Please, Hashem, enable me to have the strength to live a life. And this is my bracha I give all of us, let this Gemara Chasima Tova, that we have the strength to live a life as individuals between ourselves and ourselves, and ourselves and everyone around us, to be exuding Kod Shamayim, the glory of Hashem in everything that we do, in every action, every thought, in every interaction with every person, to bring the most godliness we can on this earth. Gemara Chasima Tova.